Today's share in the Dear Shu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Omud Beis, and we are in the third volume of Mishnah Berurah in Simen Shin Yud Ches, which we started yesterday, which deals with the halachos of Bishul on Shabbos. Again, there are a tremendous amount of Dear Shu footnotes over here, telling you how many practical halach l'maisa situations are discussed, and we'll see how far we get, but I strongly suggest that people have the time and the ability to try to read the Dershu footnotes themselves. We'll get whatever we can in the limited time that we have. We start with Sif Beis. The Mechaber tells us, HaShochet b'Shabbos l'chola. If somebody shechts an animal for chola, chola sheyesh bo sakon, a person who requires meat because he's deathly ill, and without meat, the person will unfortunately perish. Again, halacha lemaisa, this almost never happens today, so it's more of a theoretical construct. But if somebody shechs halachically acceptably for a chola sheyesh bo sakana, now this is true, ben shechol meyesmo, ben shechol ayom, whether the chola was known to be sick yesterday, so you could quote say that the animal was already prepared, or even if the chola got sick today, so there's no way that the animal is considered prepared to be shechted. So the Mechaber tells us, mutar habari lechol mimenu chai, and the Ramah adds b'Shabbos, that the healthy people can also eat from this animal raw. You can't obviously eat from it cooked, but you could eat from this animal that was shechted. You could eat a raw piece of meat. The Mishnah Berurah will go through all the details about this, but obviously you can't have it cooked. However, you are allowed to cook it for the sick person. Aval hamavashel, if somebody cooks this meat, also shar malacha, or you do any other acceptable halacha for a chola, lechola, for the sick person, who's a chola sheish v'sakana, you can, of course, be mechalal Shabbos in any way. So you now cook this animal that you shechted, and you serve it to the chola sheish v'sakana. Any extra meat that's available, also, and the Ramah adds again, b'Shabbos, it's forbidden on that Shabbos, lebari, for a healthy person, or even a l'chol she'ein bo sakana, for a sick person who's not deathly ill, to go and eat from this meat on Shabbos. And the reasoning is, the chayshin on shema yarbe b'shvilo, because you may come to go and cook more meat than is needed for the sick person. You say, well, I'm throwing it into the pot, I'll throw in a couple of extra pieces, and have for myself, or for somebody else, cooked meat as well. So that is forbidden, midirabbanan, to do that. Midaraisa, you are allowed to cook for the chol she'yesh bo sakana, and midirabbanan, you're only allowed to cook enough for that person. Again, you don't have to be medakdik on the she, you can cook as much as you think the sick person might need without having to worry that I cooked a little bit too much, but anything extra is not allowed to be eaten even by a sick person, she'ein bo sakana, and certainly by a healthy person on Shabbos. That's the Mechaber over here. It's lots of important things to be learned in the Mishnah Berurah on this as well. Siv katan ches, the Mishnah Berurah tells us, v'lo amrina, we do not say, the behema hu muktza machmas iser, the iskatsoi beben hashmoshos machmas iser shchita. We do not say over here that there's an additional prohibition over here that the animal is considered muktza because it was muktza ben hashmoshos, because obviously it was alive. And we don't say, therefore, that it's muktza even after it's shechted. Sheba also pam lo haya chola adayin. And this is true even if there was no sick person. The person only became sick on Shabbos. So you can't even argue she had died to a little shechta. Friday, the person's sick. You say, we're going to need meat on Shabbos. They didn't have refrigeration, so they couldn't shecht it beforehand. They'd have to go shecht it on Shabbos to give him fresh meat. So therefore, you can't even say in that situation that it's prepared, because this is true even if the animal was only needed on Shabbos. The person only became sick on Shabbos. Deha anan kaimalon k'Rabbi Shimon, because we say that it's not muktzah, because we hold like Rabbi Shimon, the less lo muktzah, who doesn't hold the din of muktzah, unless elahechi didachya b'yadayim, unless you yourself specifically made it muktzah. For example, you can go ner shidliko ola ba'osu Shabbos. For example, if you light a candelabra with a candle in on Shabbos, so now you've made that muktzah, you've made it designated for a non-halachically acceptable purpose on Shabbos, and therefore that's muktzah b'yadayim. The dachio b'yadayim shelo lishtamish bo b'osu Shabbos. You've made that candelabra no longer able to be used that Shabbos because you kivon shehidlik bo, because you put a candle into it. As opposed to avagabi behema lo dachio b'yadayim. This animal wasn't made muktzah by you. It's muktzah because it's an animal. And he says, further can be seen in the Beis Yosef. If you look in Dershu number 21, he brings down, we normally have no intention of using an animal on Shabbos, if it's not shechted, if it's a live animal. So therefore, you would have thought that this would be considered muktzah. So he brings down from the Chazon Ish that he says as follows. By a candle, a candelabra, you've made it muktzah with your hands. As opposed to a behema, it technically can be eaten. You could shecht the animal and technically eat it. It's not muktzah. The only problem is you can't shecht it. So that's why we say that you're not allowed to go and eat it on Shabbos. But it's not intrinsically muktzah itself. Mishnah Berurah Siv Katan Tes says that a healthy person is allowed to eat from it raw. The reasoning is, Hatam, Kivin de Ikar Shchita L'Tzorach HaChola, because the shechita was done for the purposes of the chola. The efshar lechizayis basar lo shechita, because you can't go and kill the animal without doing a shechita. So therefore, once you've shechted the animal, v'lo shayach b'zeh shem yar b'shvilo, we don't have the concern over here that you're going to shecht other animals. So this one animal, which can feed 20 people, so there's no concern over here that you're going to shecht additional animals over here. This one animal is more than enough. So there's no isser or potential derabanan of shema yarbe bishvilo. That's why you could eat it raw. Mishmur explains in Sivkon Yud, how come you're allowed to eat things raw? What about blood? So he says, ubelo melicha, you're not allowed to salt it. That would be asur. The asur l'mloch b'shabbos, that would be forbidden. And he says, what you have to do over here is hadacha, you have to rinse off the blood, mishum dam ba'ayin, you have to rinse off the blood that's exited from the flesh already. Mashen king dam habaluabo, but the blood that is inside the meat over here, it's still absorbed within the meat. Leka isser, technically there is no isser in eating that blood, kos manchalo perish. You only have a problem with the blood that went out and goes back in, that we say the blood when it's cooked goes in and out, so then you have a real problem. But the dam that's inside, if you have a raw piece of meat, you have to rinse off the blood that's outside, but technically the blood that's inside the flesh, you could actually go take a bite out of it and not be overeating blood. And the issue foot number 22 explains the reasoning behind this, why malicha is aser, because you're doing something to the meat. As opposed to hadacha, you're washing off external blood, you're not actually doing something to the meat. So therefore, there is no problem with doing the hadacha, the rinsing off of the blood that's external, and you're obviously not allowed to extract the blood from inside. That would be malicha, that would be aser, but you can take a bite out of that because technically that blood is not aser. Sivkon Yudalef, the Mishmur says that this is also on Shabbos, as the Ramah added. Abu b'matzei Shabbos, immediately after Shabbos is over, mutter miyad. It's allowed to be eaten immediately afterwards. Lo ba'inon lezeh b'chdei shiasi. You also don't have to wait here the amount of time it would have taken you to shecht the animal. U'ti'imo imatav shu yotev b'shul acholah. To go and taste the food that you're cooking over here for the chola, that is permitted. And the issue foot number 23 adds, even though you could give the chola to taste it, you're allowed to do it yourself. But there's a suffix over here whether you could actually swallow it. Rishon Khalid says he's mistapik, you're allowed to taste it, but maybe you're allowed to swallow it as well. So Sivkot Yud Beis, the Mishmur says that a chola she'ein bo sakon is not allowed to eat it just like a bari. The gamu kibari le'inyan zeh, because he's all considered a healthy person. He's not a chola she'yesh bo sakon, so therefore he's a healthy person enough. She'osim in a Torah levashal avur ayde Yisrael, a Jewish person with a cook for a chola she'ein bo sakon, that would be an issur deraisa. And therefore, in this situation, chayshino shema natiro lecho mizeh, if you would allow the chola she'ein bo sakon to eat from this shema yarbu bishvilo, you may come to go and add more meat into the pot that's unnecessary. The issue foot number 24 brings down, what happens if you cook right now for cholosh ein basakonim, but Baruch Hashem, he gets better. And by the time the food is cooked, he no longer needs it, so then you're not allowed to give it to him to eat. Sivkot and Yud Gimel, the Mishbura says, you may come to go and put in extra meat in the pot if we allow a cholosh ein basakonim or a bari to eat from the meat that you already cooked for the cholosh yesh basakonim. And he says, litin basal usochak deira, v'zeu isa deraisa kishamar bibishvilo, because by putting in extra meat there, that's actually cooking extra meat, which is an isa deraisa, and therefore you're not allowed to do this. And this is an isa deraisa, afil hu mar bibibamachas, kodim shiita nekdera leish. And this is even before you put the stuff on the fire. So let's say you put in three pieces of meat for the cholosh yesh basakonim, and then you throw in a fourth and a fifth one, even before you put it on the fire. So you could argue it's one action, the same action that's permitted for the cholosh yesh basakonim, so it's now doing a little bit of extra. Nevertheless, it's an issa deraisa. V'yeshomim dehevi derabonin, kivin shuba pamachas. Others say, no, this is still also, but it's only an issa derabonin, because, like I just said, your action is being done that's permitted for the cholosh yesh basakonim, so therefore, it is also only an issa derabonin for the cholosh yesh basakonim if you have extra meat in there. And he says, I in the Beis Yosef, where this is discussed more, and this is brought down in the Mogen Avraham. And he says, also look in the Sifri, in the Avas Chesed, Perek Zayin, Shebeiranu Raya Me'agmora Da'iko, Kidei Arishona, that we actually paskin over here that you're not allowed to do this as an issa deraisa, although Dershu foot number 29 brings down that the Chavetz Chaim in his Sefer for soldiers, the Machane Yisrael, where Nebuch Jewish soldiers had a very hard time in the army, he said that b'shas hadchak like that, you can rely upon the second opinion that says it's not a chiyuv chatas, it's only an issur derabanan. Now we go to the Ramah, who adds, Hagav, afilu bishal ayde eino Yehudi osa b'shabbos. Even if you have a non-Jewish person doing this, so it's only Amir Eliyakim, nevertheless, anybody else is not allowed to eat from that on Shabbos. The Mishnah explains this, Sivkot Yudalid, lebari, leonos mimenu. We're talking about a healthy person, or even a chol she'en bosakonah, they're not allowed to eat from that. Abo b'matzi Shabbos mutar miyad. But immediately after Shabbos is over, they can eat for it. You don't have, again, the requirement to wait kidei shiasu. And the reasoning is, Utamo, the kivin do eino Yehudi bishal beheter. Since the non-Jewish person was perfectly permitted to go and be asked to go and cook something for a cholosh yesh basakonah, and therefore lo boy lahamtim b'chdei shiasu, therefore there's no reason to wait after Shabbos the amount of time it would take to cook it. V'gam lo gozruba, and the rabbis didn't make a gzer over here, mishum bishul eino yehudim. There's also no problem over here of bishul akum. How can you eat something that's bishul akum? Brought down the name of the Vilna Gaon. However, the issue for number 30 brings down that elsewhere it does say there is a problem of bishul akum. So how do you reconcile these two seemingly contradictory psakim? So you could simply say it's a different poskim over here, but The Shona Halachas answers, Shelo hitiru lecho bishulei nachri, elo kishnisbashlu avur cholo sheyesh basakana. The only time you have a permission to go and eat, bishalakam over here was specifically made for a cholo sheyesh basakana. As opposed to, masha ein kein b'cholo sheyesh basakana, osu liochlam, it's forbidden to be eaten. And elsewhere, where it says that you can't eat it, it's talking about a chola she'ein bo sakana. There's also the opinion of Rav Ozzer Zatzal in the Beis Halevi, or alternatively, the Shon Halacha says that the difference is because one place you're talking about shelo bishlu b'miyuchot abra chola, elam vim lo bishuli akum, she is bashlu mikodem. It depends whether the chola made it specifically for him or the chola made it just for himself, and now the sick person is eating it. So this is how you reconcile whether it is permitted after Shabbos or not. Is there an issur bishul akum or not still retained on it? The Ramo continues and he writes, "Vim kotzatz peros v'namechubo l'chol b'Shabbos." If you have fruit that you pull off from a tree on Shabbos, and this halacha applies afilu hayacholim mibodrom, even if this person was already sick, a chol sheyesh basakana on Friday before Shabbos, nevertheless also labori b'Shabbos, a healthy person is not allowed to take these fruits and eat them on Shabbos. Mishum, the reasoning is shegida v'holech b'Shabbos v'yesh bo mishum mukta, because they grew still further on Shabbos from Friday to Shabbos, they benefited from being attached to the tree, still they grew a little bit more, and therefore that additional growth is mukta. Mishnah Berurah explains the sifkat and tetzvav. Wrote to Lomar L'Ramon, telling us over here, the Mishnah Berurah says, on Friday, when the guy is already sick, you had in mind you're going to have to pull off some apples off this tree on Shabbos. Even in that situation, we consider them forbidden for a cholisha ein bo sakana or bari. They can't benefit from this. Because you can't say you prepared this fruit already, and once you're allowed to pull it off, so it's no longer a problem of muktzah, no longer a problem of anything else, because it was already prepared on Erev Shabbos. We still say that the additional growth makes it muktzah for any other person other than the Chol HaSheyesh B'Sakana. However, he says, Avo Prisha Nigmar Bishulo, if the fruit was totally finished already, mature, Vishuv Ein Gadol V'Holech, and it's not going to actually benefit from being on the tree anymore from Friday into Shabbos, then Mo'eles Bo Hachona Af Bishu Mechuba. Then this type of preparation, I'm going to have to pull this off tomorrow, actually would allow it to be eaten by a Cholesh Ein Bo Sakana or a healthy person. However, the Mishnah says, Avo Cholesh Nechla Hayom. However, if the sick person only became sick on Shabbos, then it doesn't help. There was no preparation. Also, B'chol Gavle Lichanos Labari Mishum Muktzah Nechuba. Then a healthy person cannot eat from it no matter what, because it was not prepared for him, and therefore it's Muktzah, even if it was fully mature already and didn't grow anything at all from Friday to Shabbos. Sivkot and Tezayin, Ayin in the Mogen of Ram Shemak, the Mogen of Ram asks over here that the little bit that grows from Friday to Shabbos, it should be batel. Li batel hagidulim be'ikar shu harov shel heter. It should be nullified by the majority that grew beforehand. And how come it's not permitted? He brings down for the Vilna Gaon, Bir Hagroa mitzadei gam kein lahalocha. He holds that this is actually true, lahalocha, that it's batel. Now we go to Sif Gimel. The Mechaber writes, Kishem she'osu levasho bo'ur. Just like you're not allowed to go cook with fire, kach osu levasho besoledes ho'ur. You're not allowed to cook with something that was heated up directly from a fire. For example, kagon, litein beitza b'tzad kederu. You can't put an egg on the side of a pot. O l'shabru al sudor, or to break open the egg and cook it on some sort of a kerchief, shehucham bu'ur kedesha tisola, that was heated up by a fire in order that you should now go and roast the egg on it. In other words, you don't have to cook directly on the fire. If you have a pot or a kerchief or something that is hot because it was directly on the fire, and now you're cooking an egg or something else on that thing that was removed from the fire, that's called toledes ho'ur, and that is forbidden. That's an isser bishul. Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Yudzayin explains, if you do cook this way, that's an issa daraisa, you chayv achatos. Lefikoch, therefore, haminiach peros, if you leave fruit, omayim, or water, al tanur, on an oven that was heated up previously but is no longer having the fire inside of it. Oh, besocha kochlin, or you have certain compartments on the side of the tanur, that's these kochlin, min tanur chimum, shiume olav, ove defanosav bote kibble. It has some sort of places or spots within the oven that you can put things in, but the fire is not directly there. It's only heated up indirectly by the fire. Le'acha shehusa katana v'nispashu shom, after the oven has already had the fire removed from it, but it was hot from the fire, in all of these situations, it's an issa deraisa chayev. Umi the Rabbanan, and as an issa derabbanan, also laniach afilu kodem shusak, you're not even allowed to put it in there before the fire is lit. That would only be an issa derabbanan, as we will learn, ukele lekamei. And he adds, v'chol dinei bishul, and his korem, all the cooking laws that are in the siman over here, shayachim gam bedavar tishbasel ayde toledes or. All the isurim over here that we're talking about for cooking directly on the fire are also applicable to something that is cooked from the heat of the fire, but even though it's not directly on the fire. The Mechaber continues and he writes, the same thing is true of afilu besoledes kama, even something that is hot from a pot or a kerchief that was standing out in the sun. Kagom besudo shehu chamechama, you have a hot kerchief from the sun, you're not allowed to go and put food or an egg into that kerchief. Oser gizera otu toledes or, because you don't know that this got hot from the sun, and you're going to not differentiate between something that got hot from the sun and something that got hot from a fire. So therefore, the rabbis instituted over here a gzera that you can't use something that was heated up from the sun, because you may come to go and use something that was heated up from a fire. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkat Yud Ches says, afilu b'diavad aser, this is true even after the fact. Once you already cooked this egg in something that was heated up from the heat of the sun, in a kerchief, for example, you still can't use it. V'efshel d'la'achar Shabbos mutar aflu mevashel atzmo. But he brings down from the Chiddush of Rabbi Akiva Eger that maybe right after Shabbos, this would already be permitted even for the person who heated it up himself. Mechaber continues, he says, likewise, v'chein osur, you also are not allowed, lahatmina, to go and insulate something, b'chol, in the sand, o ba'avach d'rochim shehu chamu. Mikoa chama, you wouldn't be allowed to insulate something in the sand or in the dirt from the roads that was heated up from the sun. These are also called toledes chama, and it would be forbidden. And the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkat Yud Tes, b'afilu mibojom, even if this was all heated up beforehand, before Shabbos started, the cholu dover hamos of hevel, because the sand is considered something that adds to the heat, and therefore it's forbidden, as we've already learned in Simen Reish Nun Zayin Siv Gimel. But also lahat b'afilu mibojom mibosham, and the rush was brought down over there as telling us that you're not allowed to do this even before Shabbos. He brings down from the Chiddush of Rebbe Eger here as well. He disagrees and says you are allowed to insulate it before Shabbos in something like the sand. Because even if something was heated up by the sun on Erev Shabbos, and normally it adds a little bit of heat, by the time Shabbos comes around, it will already be cold. Even though it adds a little bit of heat, it doesn't last for a long period of time. So therefore, the Rashba is brought down by Rebbe Eger, would say you would be allowed to do this. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkat and Chof explains the Mechaber saying you're not allowed to put this into the sand. He says, he don't even have to insulate it. He said just to even roll it on top of the hot sand over here, nami also would also be forbidden. And this is gzera d'rabbanan. The gzera otu toledes or, because you may come, if you allow this, to go and cook it in something that was heated up in a real fire. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah explains, "V'akein also litzlos beitza agag roseach mechama." You can't go and put an egg and crack it and heat it up on the hot roof. That is forbidden. He continues and he says, "Hamavashel b'chamei Tveria." However, if you go and heat something up in the hot spring waters of Tveria, then that's not an issa deraisa. Potu michatos, because in this situation, it's only an issa derabanan. Devi ketzoledes chama. This would be like heating something up that was heated up by the sun. So if you have a pan that was out in the hot sun, so if you heat up in that, it's not an issa deraisa. It's only an issa derabanan. So the chamei Tveria have the exact same status. However, he says, "Avo chayiv makas mardus." It is an issa derabanan. You shouldn't do this. The issi yesh bezeh. There is an issa derabanan over here, and therefore lemaisa hilchach also lahamid meichol agabi chamei Tveria b'Shabbos. Therefore, you can't use the chamei Tveria to go heat something up on Shabbos. However, avo lahashol saleh in the erev Shabbos mutter. But if you left it on the chamei Tveria item before Shabbos started, then it's permitted. Ulaniach besochan also, but to put it inside of it, that would be like hatmana. That is forbidden mishum hatmana, because that's insulating medaver mosif hevel, which we've already explained. Kamosha kosa simin shin chavav siv gimel, that is forbidden because it has the same halachic status as hatmana in a dover hamosif hevel, something that adds heat to it. The Mechaber continues and he says, however, avul b'chama atzu, here is somewhat of a paradox. In something that would let a pot out, for example, a kerchief out in the sun, and now it's hot, and you want to heat it up in that, that's an issa d'rabbanan, because you mistakenly think that that's allowed, then you're going to go and use a pot that was on the fire and heat it up when you take the pot off the fire. But in the sun itself, the hot sun is out there right now, k'den litin beitza b'chama, you put just a egg out into the sun, or litin mayim b'chama, k'dei sheyechamu, or you put a water out in the sun, and just so it should get heated up, that technically is mutter. Milechatchila, you're allowed to do that, because there's no gzeir over here, you can't mistake that for something that you could do on Shabbos incorrectly. As the Mishnah Berurah explains, as if cut in chafalot, lo gazrin otuur, we don't make gzera the sun to a fire, the chama buur lo michla, because nobody's going to make the mistake. I put it out in the sun, I know that that's not something. Here you're not talking about the toldos chama, you're talking about the sun itself, and nobody's going to mistakenly think, if I can do it in the sun, I can do it on a hot fire. The issue footnote number 37 has an extremely important number of discussions. We'll just focus on the first one, the status of a microwave on Shabbos. So he brings down over here that the toldos chama is osur, only me the Rabbanon on Shabbos. He brings down Rashi for the Gemara on Shabbos, mipnei she'ein derech bishul b'kach, because that's not normally the way people cook, so it's therefore it's only an issa d'rabbanan. Based upon this, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, and Igros Moshe writes, if you cook something in a microwave on Shabbos, that is the normal way. People do cook in a microwave, and therefore that's an Issur D'oraisa on Shabbos, and this is the opinion as well of Rav Ozner Zatzal and Rav Yashiv Zatzal. On the other hand, Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees. Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal says it's only an Issur D'rabbanan, and therefore Nafkamina practically says if a person has to cook something on Shabbos, it's much more preferable to cook it in a microwave, which is only an Issur D'rabbanan, rather than cooking it in an oven, which is an Issur D'oraisa, a huge practical Nafkamina between these Shitos. With that, we conclude today's shir.